You are tuned to the Nighttime Podcast, focused on the fringe of Canada.
Hello, and welcome to a slightly different version of the Nighttime Podcast than you're used to. Tonight, I won't be focusing on a specific story or topic. Instead, I want to reflect on the shows, my life's, and the world's many ups and downs felt during 2017. Given the style of this specific episode, I'll be ranting a bit more than usual, and it will likely get disorganized. So to keep things on track as much as possible, as we go, I'll be including short messages I've received from listeners, past guests, and friends of the show. To keep some semblance of order, I'll start by discussing 2017 for the Nighttime Podcast, then the podcast industry in general, and finally, I'll briefly discuss some of the world events of 2017 that resonated with me. So with that said, let's get to the sweet and sour year that was 2017. To start off this recap, I'll say without any hesitation, 2017 was an incredible year for Nighttime. I have all of you listening to thank for that, so sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your interest in the show, and thank you for giving me a good reason to dig so deeply into these stories. Looking back on 2017, overall I see this as a year where I focused most of all on improving the overall presentation of the show. In the show's earliest days, I was releasing weekly episodes that were very, very rough around the edges. Over time, however, I think I found the acceptable balance between quality and quantity, and I'm now doing roughly 2 episodes per month. With that new pace set, during 2017, I've released 24 episodes, excluding any bonus material that was released to my patron supporters. Now, speaking of numbers, what has truly been mind-blowing to me is just how many of you are listening. When I launched the show, I didn't expect any more than my friends to pay attention to what I was doing. But to my great surprise, at some point during 2017, this show seemed to catch on. Although I don't know how many folks actually subscribed in Nighttime, I do know that during 2017, the episodes have been downloaded more than 3 million times. An absurd amount, really. Of course, I do celebrate that large of a number, but what has been much more motivating is the many listeners who email or message me with feedback on the show. Those of you listening may not realize this, but podcast creation largely happens within a pair of headphones in a dimly lit room. As such, it's easy to feel as though you're releasing your creations into a dark, empty void. Hearing from those of you who are listening turns that void into a weird and wonderful place filled with like-minded people. Of course, some of them are lunatics, but most of them are great. Now let's take a moment to hear from a listener, one who happens to have a great accent.
Hello, Jordan. It's Karina here from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And I just want to be grateful for the amazing podcast. I love Nighttime Podcast. And I want to wish you and your family and the listeners, everybody, an excellent new year. And that's all. Bye.
Thanks for sharing that, Karina. I'm proud to have you listening. Now, aside from the many new friends who found the show during 2017, another highlight has been the great guests who've joined me in these episodes. I'll name just a few. When I was joined by My Bloody Valentine director, George Mihalka, that was a memorable experience, and it was great to hear some insight into the production of this 1980s horror classic. Another memorable guest was Mike Kropfeld of InfoSect. His knowledge of cults and religious movements added a lot of depth to the Sunray and Nature Boy series. I'm going to now play a short message I received from one of my more memorable past guests. He just happens to be a major inspiration of mine.
Hello, Nighttime Podcast listeners. This is Fonce Jessam coming to you from my home office in Halifax. You may recall me from the 2 episodes that featured details of the triple murder at the Sydney River McDonald's restaurant in 1992 and the massive RCMP manhunt that was launched after that botched robbery. I'd like to say a special thank you to those of you who purchased my book, Murder at McDonald's, following the broadcast of those episodes, as well those who picked up a copy of Disposable Souls, my first crime fiction work, which came out at the same time the podcasts aired. I'll be busy in 2018 writing the sequel to that book. I hope you spend 2018 doing what you're passionate about and what brings peace and contentment to your heart. Stay mysterious.
Aside from the guests I mentioned before we heard from Fonz, I want to take a moment to talk about the guests who've shared such personal and emotional stories with me. Having Paula Bali, mother of Michaela Bali, share her daughter's heartbreaking story was easily one of the most difficult episodes I had to produce last year, but also one of the most rewarding. Although my show can be light at times, when I take on something like Michaela's or Emma Filipoff's story, I double, if not triple, my efforts to make those episodes accurate and effective. Quite simply, words cannot express how honored I am to have people like Paula Bali and Shelley Filipoff agree to share their stories with me, and the positive feedback from them has been by far the most rewarding part of all this. Now, since my episode about Michaela Bali's case, I've received many requests to revisit it. I hope to do so in 2018. As far as Emma's case, my coverage will continue both on Nighttime and the newly launched spin-off podcast titled Emma Filipoff is Missing. If you aren't listening, I invite you to subscribe to that show as well. In addition to the numbered episodes about Emma's case, I'll be releasing exclusive episodes to Emma Filipoff is Missing, in which I'll discuss the case with others. So far, I was joined by Aaron from Generation Y and Emile from the French-Canadian podcast Distortion. Now, the next clip I'll play was sent by a member of the Help Find Emma team, the volunteer group of citizen detectives who've been supporting Shelley in her search.
On behalf of the Help Find Emma Filipoff team, I want to wish you all the best in 2018. Although we didn't accomplish our goal of finding Emma in 2017, we did receive great support from many Nighttime podcast listeners, and we thank you for that.
I'll move on now to speaking about the more technical aspects of Nighttime's production. Over 2017, I've made big changes to how the show is prepared and released. Hopefully, these changes will allow 2018 to have even more and better episodes. As far as the changes, I've completely upgraded my equipment, a new laptop, new mic, basically new everything. Although only the true obsessives may notice, but things are now sounding better than they ever did. Then regarding the actual episodes, I've been mixing up the music and sound during the episodes to try to make things more interesting. This is thanks to a recent partnership with an incredible musical duo out of Ottawa, Ontario, called Paragon Cause. They are listeners of the show and have been providing me lots of very cool and very thematically appropriate instrumentals that, to me, really bring the episodes to the next level. If you enjoy the music in the recent episodes, check out Paragon Cause on iTunes or SoundCloud. I'll make it easy and I'll put a link in my show notes for this episode. Now, another aspect of the show that changed during 2017 was the incorporation of video supplements to the episodes. Initially, I started video trailers as a test to see how people reacted, and what I found is that the video trailers provide those of you listening a more interesting way to hear what the upcoming episodes are about, and of course, the trailers provide you all with a much better way to share the show with others. Going forward into 2018, I hope to do more and longer video supplements for the episodes. To any of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. I release short video trailers there as I release each new episode. Now, the last activity related to the production of the show that I started in 2017 was the remastering of my old episodes. As I said prior, my early episodes were prepared and released weekly, and frankly, they sounded like crap. Over the past few months, I've been choosing my favorite old episodes and re-recording or remastering them. When new listeners find the show in 2018, they'll be met with a much more tidy back catalog to go through. So I'm going to now get into my thoughts on the podcast industry during 2017. Before we do, let's hear from my fellow Canadian, Jack Luna. He hosts the awesome podcast, Dark Topic.
Hello, this is Jack Luna from Dark Topic. Just wanted to share that I thoroughly enjoyed the February episode, My Bloody Valentine, featuring True Crime Garage, a couple of my favorite podcasts combined to talk casually about a cult classic. That was a great afternoon of listening. I barbecued and soaked up some suds to that. On a personal note, I messed up by calling Mr. Bone Party Jonathan in an episode of mine, so I'd like to formally apologize. Jason is a legend, even out here in Western Canada, so that was a heinous miscue. All right. Looking forward to the 2018 catalog there, Jacob. Stay weird.
You heard Jack mention my past episode with Nick and Captain of True Crime Garage. That brings me to another interesting part of podcasting and the podcasting industry. As this industry grows, the independent shows like mine and True Crime Garage really need to be on our A games if we want to compare with the professionally produced shows that have been popping up even more so lately. Anyone who looks at the Apple podcast charts will see the major networks are increasingly interested in investing in podcasts. To provide a sense of how popular podcasts have become, a survey conducted by Edison Research states that in 2017, 67 million Americans listened to podcasts on a regular basis. That's a 14% increase since 2016. To give a comparison in terms of size, in the United States, there are about as many regular podcast listeners as there are Christians, a huge number. And as such, it's no surprise that major advertisers have been looking carefully at the industry, and of course, where the ad money goes, the major networks are sure to follow. Now, one thing we independent podcasters have learned is that by working together and supporting each other, we're all much better off. Now, here's a clip from a fellow podcaster I've become great friends with during 2017. In fact, I've hardly made a decision without bouncing it off her first.
This is Christy from the Canadian True Crime Podcast. Now, I've got a few favourite nighttime podcast moments from this year. The Michaela Barley story really pulled on my heartstrings, especially the way her mum said that she can't bear to have a comfortable sleep when she doesn't know where her daughter is. I found that really heartbreaking, and I hope that they get some answers very soon. Also, I loved the Sunray and Nature Boy story. It was fascinating, and there were so many what-the-hell moments. I certainly hope there will be some more updates. But probably my favourite nighttime podcast moment came when I was just a brand new podcaster in Canada, and Jordan messaged me out of the blue to introduce himself and asked if I needed any help or if he could answer any questions. Well, I proceeded to bombard him with questions and still continue to do so every so often. Jordan has become a highly trusted and respected peer and an amazing support. So thank you so much, Jordan, and cheers to the Nighttime Podcast. Happy New Year, everyone.
If you haven't already checked out Christy's show, Canadian True Crime, I encourage you to listen. Now, during 2017, I've had the pleasure of collaborating with many great podcasters. In addition to True Crime Garage, I was joined by Aaron of Generation Y, Alejandro Rojas of Open Minds, and my strange friend Martin Willis of Podcast UFO. Now, aside from simple collaboration on episodes, a highlight of mine from 2017, and really a highlight from my life in general, was partnering with two of the podcasters I most look up to do a live event in Somerville, Mass. Here's a clip from one of them now.
My dear friend Jordan Bonaparte, this is Tim Paleri from the Missing Maura Murray and Crawl Space podcasts. Of course, your friend that we did a live show with this year in Boston. So I just wanted to say, because I saw your tweet about sending you messages, just wanted to say that you are a great guy, have a great podcast, and I especially love your coverage of Nature Boy and Sunray, and I'm downright jealous of it. So keep rocking in the new year. Thanks for all your help.
I first met Tim and Lance from Missing Maura Murray and Crawl Space when I invited them to speak on my episode covering Maura Murray's disappearance. Since then, we've become close friends and frequent collaborators. From when I first met them, I knew they were huge talents and had big things coming their way in the future, but I didn't think it would happen so soon. During 2017, Tim and Lance became one of podcasting's success stories when a major TV network, Oxygen, partnered with them in what turned out to be a hit television series about Maura Murray's disappearance. And they weren't the only podcasters to make the move to the small screen. Aaron Mankey had his show Lore adapted to a series on Amazon, and the well-known channel Spike released a series called Time, the Khalif Browder story. The Spike series was very podcaster-friendly, as it features the hosts of several popular true crime podcasts, like Undisclosed, Truth and Justice, My Pal Brooke of Actual Innocence, and of course John David Booter, the intrepid host of Done Disappeared, was involved. Now I'm curious to see what opportunities 2008 will provide podcasters. In the next clip, we'll hear from Tim's partner at Crawlspace in Missing Maura Murray.
Hello, Jordan of the Nighttime Podcast. This is Lance of the Crawlspace and Missing Maura Murray podcasts. Before I ask my question, I have two quick things. The first one being happy holidays to you and your family. I wish you all nothing but the best. The second one is I feel very privileged to have worked alongside you in 2017 and able to call you a peer in this industry. My question stems from some of that work that we did together. We had a live show, Somerville, Massachusetts, Davis Square, the Rockwell Theater. On that live show, we had Lucien Greaves, the leader of the Satanic Temple from Salem, Massachusetts. And I'm wondering, have you continued the dialogue with Lucien, and or have you fully converted to Satanism? Because I know you took a bit of a shine to him, and you even took your family to see him the following day. So I just wanted to circle back on that and find out where we're at with everything there. Thanks for everything that you do, Jordan. Keep up the good work. And here's to 2018.
To answer Lance's questions, yes, I have continued to closely follow Lucien's activities, and I personally think what he and the Satanic Temple are doing is incredible. As far as identifying as a Satanist, I'd be reluctant to go that far, but I do try my best to live by the seven tenets, and I'm raising my family to do the same. I think if more people out there took some time and learned about Satanism, they'd realize that their personal beliefs are very similar to those of the Satanic teachings. Since I'm speaking about Satan and Lucien Greaves, I will again say I was surprised at the controversy surrounding that episode. I didn't expect everyone to be interested in hearing from the founder of the Satanic Temple, but I was surprised to see folks downright mad about it. Despite having this vocal minority upset with me, I didn't consider canceling a live appearance or an episode with Lucien. In fact, I've only twice canceled planned episodes, and both times was during 2017. I'll tell you about them. The first one was a missing persons case I had completed the episode on. It was completely done, ready for release. However, 2 days before the release of the episode, new information came to light in the case, and the family involved in the episode requested I not continue. Of course, although disappointing, it was completely understandable, and I gladly pulled the episode. The second episode I backed away from was an altogether different set of circumstances. I had begun interviewing and researching, but things turned really dark and really weird very quickly. In the end, I decided to not go forward simply for my own safety. It's honestly the only time I felt scared during the history of the show. I won't say specifics about the story, but surprisingly, it wasn't a true crime or a missing persons case, which are typically the more sensitive ones. This one was actually about the Oak Island treasure hunt, a surprisingly delicate topic. Now, in the next segment, I'll briefly mention some of the 2017 world events that will stick with me on a personal level. But before I do, we'll hear again from another friend of the show, Corey Mumberketz, the host and creator of Pete's Paranormal Chronicles.
Happy New Year, everyone. I am fellow Nova Scotian podcaster Corey Mumberketz. My favorite episode of 2017 was the mysterious death of Bernard Langell. I was just completely captivated the whole time listening to that, because it was just everything about it was so weird and perplexing. Shortly after that, I think, was the Sunray Nature Boy series, which that's like another high watermark, I think, for Nighttime. The show is really hitting its stride. It's never been better, and I can't wait to see what Jordan has in store for 2018.
Now, I do my best to hide it on the show, but I'm a bit of a curmudgeon and have been called a misanthrope more times than I care to admit. Now, regardless of whether or not that's accurate, 2017 in a lot of ways seemed to justify my grim view of the world. Gun violence and terrorism again dominated the headlines. And of the many tragic and senseless mass murders committed during 2017, the juxtaposition of a bombing at an Ariana Grande concert was something that will always stick with me. And of course, the madman shooting concert goers with high-powered automatic weapons from a Las Vegas hotel room window is among the most shocking events of its kind, certainly something I'll never forget. I don't know what the solutions are for these types of attacks, but man, we gotta think of something. Now, another news story that 2017 will be remembered for is, of course, the changing of the guard within the American presidency. Now, I'll be completely honest, I know as little as I possibly can about politics, but Trump just seems like an odd choice for a country's representative.
If they were using her to...
I don't think Ivanka would do that inside the magazine, although she does have a very nice figure. I've said that if Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
You know? Stop it! Oh, it's so weird! Stop it!
You know what? You are sick!
Isn't that terrible? Yeah.
Well, you're known for saying outrageous things, Mr.
I'm sure many of you listening support him, and I support your right to do whatever you think is best for your country, but as an outsider looking in, the United States don't seem very united to me. But with the politics aside, Trump does make for some incredible TV.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Aside from 2017 bringing us a controversial world leader, it also took from us many of my favorite artists. To name the ones that affected me the most, Malcolm Young, the songwriter for AC/DC, a favorite singer of mine, Tom Petty, another favorite singer, Chris Cornell of Soundgarden, and one of Canada's best-kept secrets, the lead singer of the tragically hip Gord Downie, and lastly, the godfather of zombies, George Romero. Although I only listed five folks, to me, these are five folks who've been incredibly important, and especially so during my formative years. But despite those big losses, 2017 wasn't all bad. We did get a third season of Twin Peaks, a second season of Stranger Things, and the SNES Classic. But there is one last thing that, to me, made 2017 a year I'll never forget. Something big happened in my life. I'll invite my 5-year-old son to share that news with you. Okay, buddy, do you want to tell everybody our big news?
Meow, meow.
You're not a cat, you're a boy.
Stop, I want to be a cat.
Okay, pretend you're a cat and tell everybody our big news.
Meow, 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 baby.
Use the regular word to tell them.
I have a new baby.
That's right. And what's your little baby's name?
Gabriel.
Right.
And are cat.
He's not a cat. He's a boy, too. And are you being a good big brother?
Meow, meow.
So what are you looking forward to next year, bud?
Is there meow, meow.
Is there anything you're looking forward to?
Meow, 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 meow doesn't know.
Okay. Say bye to everybody.
Meow, bye.
So, yeah. The next few episodes may be a bit late, but going into 2018, I'm more motivated than ever. I've got great episodes in the works, some exciting collaborations planned, and some interesting projects in the oven. I hope you'll all stick around and share it with me. It'd be very weird to do this without you listening. Now, in parting, 2017 wasn't a great year for most people, but we gotta stay positive and stick together. Sure, we live in a world without Prince, without David Bowie or Michael Jackson, and sure, our world leaders seem committed to dividing us and bombing each other, but all this absurdity that surrounds us only serves as justification to not take things so serious. For many of us, 2018 will be our last year, so don't waste it stressing and arguing about nonsense on the internet. Call your mom, buy your kid a candy bar, and ignore the folks that make you miserable. So in closing, I want to thank everyone who's listened to the show and supported me during 2017, and I'd like to wish you and your loved ones all the best in 2018. And with that, I'll conclude this episode of the Nighttime Podcast. If you're interested in hearing more content, please check out the Nighttime Patron Group, where for $1 a month, you can support the creation of the show and access exclusive bonus content. You can join by visiting patreon.com/nighttimepodcast. On behalf of myself and the show's listeners, I'd like to thank the continued support of the current patrons and welcome the newest members of the group. For anyone else who'd like to support the show but can't do so financially, you can help me by telling your friends about the show and leaving a positive review for Nighttime on Apple Podcasts or whatever equivalent you use. If any of you listening want to stay up to date with my activities on and off the show, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I use the handle @NighttimePod. And if any of you have story ideas or some feedback for the show, I'd love to hear from you at nighttimepodcast@gmail.com. So until next time, keep looking around and let me know if you see anything weird.
The Nighttime Podcast is written, hosted, and produced by Jordan Bonaparte. Copyright Jordan Bonaparte.
What's the difference between a wet raccoon and Donald J. Trump's hair? A wet raccoon doesn't have $7 billion fucking dollars in the bank.